in, but otherwise, I'm just happy to see everybody's faces. You know, it's nice to, you know, be able to see some, you know, see people here on the call and get together where we can see their faces. That a lot.
Thank you. Carrie, I love your background.
Thank you. Well, it's National Tourism Week, so yes, and you guys did a great job in your collages, Kathleen. You really did. So props to you guys for having fun with that. I know the marketing team was really excited to see them. So good morning. I just saw the TDC Chairman, Bo Schmitz, has joined us. He's with us this morning. Good morning, Bo.
Good morning. How are you, Carrie?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Welcome to National Travel and Tourism Week and our first Zoom industry call. And then we have our first virtual Zoom TDC meeting tomorrow. So this may be a new normal. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, I got all tested out yesterday. So I passed all the tests from Noberto.
But, but I have a script to send you too. This morning we'll hop on a call, but there's some, as you might imagine, some legal disclaimers we have to state at the beginning of the meeting, you know, that we are allowed by law to actually conduct business, you know, public business, you know, on the virtual platform. So I'll share that with you after the call.
Sounds good.
Thank you. It's just so nice to see everybody's faces. Joseph, how are you this morning?
I am good. I was able to test for the TDC meeting. I was actually traveling yesterday, so I stopped at a McDonald's and used some of their Wi-Fi to test my Zoom for tomorrow. So that was fun.
That's what we heard, actually. Noberto told us later. He said,
phone.
To connect from Pensacola, live from a McDonald's parking lot. I was like, that's awesome.
It was my only window, and Commissioner DeLoge first said, like, you really shouldn't be driving and doing this. And I'm like, I'm not. I'm stopped at a McDonald's.
Yeah.
Morning, Carrie, and everyone else.
Oh, good morning, Russell. How are you? Thank you for joining us this morning. Good to see you.
Seeing you, even if it is virtual.
Exactly. So yes, happy National Travel and Tourism Week, where normally we would have had a luncheon and gotten together, and so but this is to have it this way and at least get to see everybody this week, and so that's a treat. A lot going on this week, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. It seems like it's been going on constantly.
Exactly. Ever evolving fact, yes. Exactly. It is always changing.
Thank you for inviting me to talk today.
Oh, thank you for being able to take time of getting ready to reopen, for taking time, you know, your morning to be with us and share with us what all you've got going on and what you're even seeing kind of around the state from other museums now that, you know, they are included in the, you know, the governor's reopened Florida plan. So I'm interested to hear that. And again, we've got Greg Cohen from Lofty Pursuit to talk about from a perspective. And gotta, you know, there's, I think it's so much continuing to happen, but it's exciting and, you know, kind of nerve wracking at the same time, but happy that, you know, that we are kind of moving towards safely getting out and experiencing all the cool things to do in Tallahassee. So,
well, it is definitely like walking on shifting sand.
Yes, indeed. In this continuum of folks. And then I know if you to be interested to see what they're seeing, we did get a preliminary, not the final number of TDT collections, and still not good, but it's kind of like better than what I'd anticipated. It's kind of like the hotels that, you know, they were happy when they were at, you know, 20% occupancy because they were at, you know, single digits and 10% before. So again, it's, you know, better than what was anticipated, but still not good. We gotta wait till we get the final report in for April, and then look at May and check out that data and see where we are, and then give us some confidence for forecasting 21 budget. Because right, you know, everybody's just speculating, you know, and we need data to inform our budget, our marketing decisions, everything. So we're delighted we have a data guy with us on the call today, who will be speaking. So again, delighted everybody's here. I'll get started in just about a minute or so, give people enough time. I love all these little doorbells. You know, people are coming in.
I'm like rushing to my office door to see if somebody's there.
I close the door, make sure my dog doesn't start barking, and you know. Okay, I think we do have a good group on the call, it seems. Got a number of folks, so good morning, everybody. Happy that everybody is here. And it's good. I want to say, I guess we'll officially kick it off then. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to National Travel and Tourism Week and our first industry Zoom call. So again, so wonderful to see everybody's faces. It's always good to connect when we have the calls, but I really like this to be able to see all the faces. So I thank you all so much for taking your time this morning to be with us, and it's great to see so many. And again, wonderful to see everybody's faces. A little bit of housekeeping, and you guys so good about this on the industry calls. You have your mute button on the lower left corner of your screen. So just to mute any background noises, if you would please hit mute on your line. So again, just so everybody can hear, would very much appreciate that. And again, when you wish to speak, just go ahead and click that little icon, and that will unmute you. So then when you wish to speak, you'll be ready to hear in the background noises. And I want to thank you all for making the time to be with us this morning. Because as a community and as an industry, we know we are all in this together, and we will get through this together. This is, as I've shared on previous calls, it's not just an economic crisis. It is a very much a human crisis as well. So I'd like us all to take a moment, and you all in your daily activities, to make a point to please thank all of our healthcare workers, our doctors, our nurses, our hospital staff, EMTs, paramedics, all those folks that are working on the front lines with this, they are so important in the fight and in keeping us all healthy. And those folks that are sick, they're putting their lives on the line every day and taking care of them. And also, let's thank all of our grocery store workers, the stockers, the cashiers, you know, the food workers in the restaurants, the servers, the delivery folks. Really thank all of them for being very, very courageous to keep things moving, keep things connecting, keeping us all fed and tended to. So again, make a point to please thank these people when you can, because they truly are our local heroes. As we know, this is very much an evolving situation. Certainly on the national, state, and local levels. In Florida now, there are 37,439 cases. That is up over 4,000 new cases since last week. And here locally, we are up to now 229 cases of COVID-19 in Leon County. And that is up only about, which is good news, about 16 cases. So that's, again, a decrease from the increase in 30 cases we saw last week. Again, thank you to everybody who has been the social distancing and staying at home to flatten that curve. And now we've just got to continue to maintain our health and safety measures to protect all of us as we kind of reopen our community and the state reopens. So certainly, as you all are very much aware, the governor released his phase one of the Reopen Florida plan last week. And the phase one really kind of kicked off this past Monday, just a few days ago, because restaurants are now able to operate at 25% capacity inside, and those with outdoor seating can operate with safe social distancing in place. Tables at least 6 feet apart and parties of 10 or less. Retail stores are allowed to operate at 25%, and the same as museums and libraries. So they are able to now open up at this limited capacity, but the decision is totally up to the owners and the operators of these businesses. It's not mandatory, it is totally up to them. And we see many restaurants, particularly, that are, you know, either holding a little bit, some are opening, jumped in right away, others are preparing and are going to, and others are just saying, hey, I'm not ready yet. And so, again, we are tracking that, too. We have a list of the attractions, the ones that are planned to open and when they're planning to open, as well as the restaurants. We have links to those lists that are on our website. Both on the consumer and the industry pages. So again, we want to make sure for those folks that are open, we are making sure we're doing our part to communicate that they are open and ready to receive visitors and business. Salons and movie theaters still remain closed. Hospitals unlocked their doors, front doors, for the first time on Monday, which they have not done in over 6 weeks, and doctors can begin any of the elective procedures again. And of course, the tighter restrictions still remain in the three southeast counties of Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, because that is where the majority of Florida's COVID-19 cases still are in those three counties. Many changes are happening here locally and will continue to happen. Because as we begin to take baby steps and to reopen our community and again kind of restart the economy, take baby steps to do that, I believe that our county and our city are going to work very, very hard to find that sweet spot to protect lives and livelihoods. We've got to walk that fine line, that fine balance of protecting lives and livelihood. And I'm very confident the county and the city and all of their plans are making sure to be mindful of that challenging balance and will certainly, I have come to do a great job with that. So please keep in mind that we as an industry, again, most impacted by COVID-19, that we will certainly continue to learn and adapt as we go along this continuum to, you know, recovery and rebounding to this kind of new normal, whatever that will be. And to be sure, the reopening of our community in a phased approach is also exactly what we're going to be doing in remarketing and restarting marketing of the destination. We'll have a very phased approach. As with everything in the community, that's going to be in alignment with the state. The state opening plans, the state alignment, whereas for marketing, obviously we're really looking at the product and the destination and what is open and what's not, but also consumer mindsets. What are they thinking about? You know, when is the time going to be right to start dipping our toe back in the water? We've had, you know, kind of passive ads with no call to action to keep Tallahassee top of mind out there. And thank you all for doing that as well. But not having a call to action, but when do we start putting this call to action and actively start again marketing visitation to the destination? That's, again, with a lot dependent upon the consumers. So in any event, I would now like to turn it over to staff to give just a few updates on Visit Tallahassee and Leon County Tourism, kind of our activities, and then we'll turn it over to our very special, we got three great guests with us today. First, we want to hear from the Senior Marketing Director, Katie Cole, to give us some marketing updates here during National Travel and Tourism Week.
Awesome. Thank you, Carrie. Hey, everyone. Good to see some familiar faces. It's been a while. So as Carrie mentioned, it's National Travel and Tourism Week. We have some really great resources that we've put together for partners to help you celebrate. And so this year's theme is the spirit of travel. And as I mentioned, our team's put together a whole page on visittallahassee.com. It's visittallahassee.com/tourismweek. And it provides different ways that you, our partners, can get involved and share the spirit of travel. So just a couple of things that are on that page. We have a toolkit on there that has sample posts and visuals that you can share on social media. We've created a Facebook profile picture frame that you can change this week that showcases the spirit of travel. We have Zoom backgrounds that showcase Tallahassee and the spirit of travel branding. Carrie is showing a very perfect example of that right now. We also have the visual collages from partners that is showing the message, "Together we are the spirit of tourism." So thank you to all of you that sent in your pictures or your staff that sent in pictures. The collages turned out great. It's a fun way to engage with people. It shows the current situation that we're in. But those are available that you can pull and share those as well. We also launched this week a new video for future visitors that features our local partners in the industry. The video can be found on the Tourism Week page. It's on Visit Tallahassee's YouTube page. It's on our social media pages. It's easy to find. So if you want to see that and share it, we would appreciate your help spreading the word about Tallahassee. And finally, just to round out National Travel and Tourism Week, Royce Lovett is going to be hosting a live concert, on Visit Tallahassee's Instagram page this Friday at noon. So please tune in, share the concert. It's all in the spirit of travel and celebrating travel. So it's a nice way to end with one of our local celebrities. And last but not least, just thank you to those of you that are following our new Visit Tallahassee Facebook partner page. It's a really great tool for you to share things that you have going on, for us to share kind of industry news as well, and kind of engage with other partners. So to join, just go search for Visit Tallahassee Partners on Facebook, click join, and you're in. So that's my quick update again. Good to see you guys. Thank you for being on today's call, and I'll pass it back off to Carrie.
Great. Thank you, Katie. Again, really encourage you all to check out the resources that are on there, and thank you all for what you've done with providing us the images for the collages, and keep them coming. That coming. I do encourage you to check out the video that a number of folks in the industry, it is a greeting to future visitors, basically saying we'd love to see you back in Tallahassee when the time is right. So really encourage you to check it out and please share it. Thank you to everybody that participated on the video. We tried to cover all the different aspects of the destination visitor products. Again, want to thank you all for that. Please do check out the video. Next, we'll turn it over to Amanda Heidecker, who is our Senior Sales and Sports Director, to give us some updates from the sales and sports side. Amanda.
Good morning. Sorry, my camera is a little blurry, a little defected, but it's great to see everybody. Thank you, Carrie, for this opportunity to talk to everyone. Just wanting to do some updates from our sales side. So obviously sports, our leisure department, and our meetings department. From day one, and as COVID kind of evolved in our community, our number one priority on the sales side was to not cancel events. It was to rather postpone them. Obviously, we understand how extremely important they are in our community. And so we've worked really hard with these rights holders to make sure that they didn't cancel, but rather find a different date when our community does open. So
hey, welcome.
I'm happy to report that we have six events at this date. That we have rescheduled. Most of them are in the month of August, and one of them is in the month of September. We're still working with three other rights holders right now to get their events rescheduled, but we are very excited that we don't haven't had to cancel them, that we've rather just had to postpone them, and hopefully can continue to do that as we move forward. We appreciate everyone on this call, as we've worked with many of you to find hotels, in the future and how that will work and facilities. So we're really excited about that. We've also started working with our facilities and our venue owners on when and how we will reopen as a community and how we will host these events and what they look like. We really want to be that bridge between our community and the facility and those event ride holders and those visitors coming here and how that will look and how we can make sure everyone is informed and that we are a safe community and we are taking all of these new protocols very seriously and making visitors feel welcome when they come here to Tallahassee. We've also worked really hard. You know, we have cross country in the fall. I'm excited to announce we have 4 really large events that are on the books from October to December. So not knowing what the football season looks like, I know that these events are very important and we are working to make them as large as they can and welcome people back to our community. On the website side, we've been working really to add virtual events. I know Katie Gardocki's been working really hard to give locals and visitors that are interested in coming here to take part in a lot of our virtual events and what that looks like. We've worked really hard to grow out that page with the marketing department and the Zimmerman Agency. And also on our sports site, our meeting site, our leisure and wedding pages, we've really expanded those. We're looking to add additional content during this time. As we just launched our new website, as Katie and Carrie have mentioned, we're looking to expand those pages and make them more informative and again, and welcome visitors as they come back to our community. Thank you.
Hey, great. Thank you, Amanda. Appreciate it. They've got a great team that's working hard for y'all. It's amazing how busy we are, just even in working remotely. I know you all are, I'm sure, seeing the same things as our programs are evolving, adapting, and as I've shared in previous calls, obviously went through this year, you know, cut $1.6 million from our budget this year. And again, adapting, but still trying to salvage all the business that we can. The team is working incredibly hard, and I couldn't be more proud of them. So again, thank you both for the updates this morning from your respective teams. So again, I want to thank everybody for being on the call today. These calls are really designed, or meetings, to share learning and share knowledge and support each other. That's really what these meetings are about. And as we do every week, we've invited several great guest speakers to be with us this morning. So we're going to hear from them, and then we'll open it up to hear from you all. So we're going to start off first on deck will be Russell Dawes from the Tallahassee Museum to share updates on their innovative adaptation. They plan to reopen on Friday, and he also can share some insight on how the museum community is leading and adapting nationally and around the state. Next, we will hear from Dr. Joseph St. Germain at Downs and St. Germain Research. He is a leading, did I go, am I frozen?
You look fine.
You look good to us.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah,
you look good.
Okay. Everything just froze up on my screen, so I thought maybe I was talking to myself here. So I guess y'all heard, I think you heard that it was Russell Dawes is with us today. Then we're going to hear from Dr. Joseph St. Germain of Downs and St. Research, who is, they're a national tourism researcher. And they're based here in Tallahassee, and they're also our firm of record. So we're going to hear from Joseph as the president of Downs and St. Germain Research to share their insights they're seeing here locally as well as around the state and perhaps even globally. And then lastly, and certainly not least, we will hear from Greg Pursuits talking about some of their really cool and new programs that they've been doing. They've kind of been at the forefront of this. Very, very innovative and talking about their business adaptations, and they're expanding into new products and services. So we're going to start off with Russell, then turn it over to Joseph, and then over to Greg. And so for the sake of time today, we will hold questions till the end. So with that, let's kick it off with Russell, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Carrie. Good morning, everyone. It's been an exciting time, as you all are dealing with, and somewhat shifting sands. But as Carrie mentioned, we plan to open the museum in accordance with the governor's executive orders on Friday morning at 9 a.m. We'll be limiting visitors at a 25% of our overall capacity. which with 50-some acres shouldn't be a problem. Most of our buildings are going to be closed so that we can maintain good sanitation efforts. Our visitor center will be closed to enter. We'll be rerouting people around the building, but as people exit, they'll be going through the visitor center. Our Trailbreak Cafe will be open, but following the governor's recommendations on restaurants. We are going to ask visitors to be masked when they are in buildings. Our museum store will be open, but all of our buildings will be following the capacity limits. We had also intended to open Tallahassee Tree to Tree Adventures on Friday, but a call yesterday with the Department of Agriculture kind of changed that. The governor made it very clear in his executive orders that museums could open. We saw Tallahassee Tree to Tree as part of the museum. Well, there's some gray area of interpretation there, and the Department of Agriculture feels the governor doesn't want to encourage people to travel and has decided that amusement facilities should not open. I think this is the department's decision. Amusement facilities should not open, and that is how we're permitted for Tree to Tree. So unfortunately, that will remain closed until further notice, even though we felt that we could maintain great social distancing in the trees. A little bit about what we've been doing. Once we closed on the 26th of March, we pivoted 90 degrees and became very much distance learner providers. We greatly enhanced our social media information on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to drive out our educational mission to people. That's been very successful. And we also wanted to do it to keep people, the museum, on the top of people's mind. And it also helped in generating memberships and revenues. One of the great success stories we had in that was we put together activity kits for home. Every week we launch a new theme and people register for it. They pay a small fee, I think it's $8 to $10, and we deliver that activity kit for kids from kindergarten to grade four to the doorsteps of people. At this point, we've delivered almost 70 kits within 30 miles of Tallahassee. We've started a mixology happy hour on Thursdays with noted historians and science people. We've had over 500 people join those Zoom meetings. In fact, we had a couple people internationally on our Zoom meeting last Thursday that dealt with crime, solving crime issues. So that's going very well. We'll continue to do this distance learning efforts because we know that some people are not going to venture out for a while. Talking about museums in the state and the nation, as we all know, there's not a unified approach to reopening, and many of our colleagues across the country are running into different guidance from their state and local governments that kind of makes it a different effect for every museum, and no one museum is the same. So we're running into museums that can't be open because they're children's museums, and it kind of makes sense, with everyone touching everything and interacting. In fact, our governor doesn't want things like that open, and so our playground won't be open on Friday. Some museums are in this state can't open because they're down in Miami-Dade or Fort Lauderdale area, but they're getting ready to. Zoos, which we consider part of the big umbrella of museums, Jacksonville Zoo has opened. Tampa Zoo probably will be opening late May, June 1st, along with Florida Aquarium. The nice thing about museums and zoos is we do a lot of talking. And we here at the museum, as well as elsewhere, have learned so many things about how to open safely by sharing information among each other. For instance, we were going to utilize gloves for our staff that used cash transactions. We're going to try to be as touchless as possible, but based upon the advice of Miami-Dade's health commissioner or official, they have more concerns about the safety of using gloves and using hand sanitizers after every touch. Basically, their feeling is the gloves give a greater sense of confidence, and they see people with gloves on then handling money and then touching their face or touching everything else. So we've kind of abandoned the touch of the glove aspect. In some cases, we're actually seeing, as many of you have probably seen in national news, that some of the big cats in zoos have actually been diagnosed with COVID. So certainly our animal keepers are keeping an eye out for that. We've been very fortunate to keep about 75% of our staff busy on projects during our closure, and they've come in very handy as we get ready to reopen on Friday. We did get a Paycheck Protection Program check, which will help us support our staff for the next 8 weeks. So, you know, every day is a new day. We have done a good job of responding as needed and trying to stay ahead of things. And we're very confident when we open Friday that our sanitation plans, our signage plans, our directional efforts will keep people safe. And of course, people don't need to come if they don't want to. I think that's it, Carrie.
Well, thank you, Russell. I really appreciate that. And so happy to hear that you guys will be opening up and have taken all of the, you know, the steps of this convenience. You've got 50 acres to work with, you know, and certainly will still provide an absolutely wonderful experience. There is no doubt in my mind, and it's really cool to hear how you've adapted with your stay-at-home, you know, kits that you've done, your learning kits and your Zoom meetings. So great job, and thank you for being with us this morning. Really,
yeah, in fact, it just because it's Tourism Week, I meant to mention that we're in the process of redesigning a new website. We're working with a great team at Zimmerman Agency, and what a perfect time to do a website redo during our closure. But I think it's going to be a website that will not only assist the museum, but help travel the travel industry and getting the word out better to tourists to visit Tallahassee. And great job on the video, by the way.
Great. Well, thank you for thank you again for being with us this morning. Thank you for being in the video. And yeah, that's we got to give that, we need to give that GOAT credit for first Asian for being a star in the I don't know how you check out the video folks to see what we're talking about. So again, Russell, thank you so much for being with us. Please let us know if there's anything we can do too. I'm sure I know that your team is working with our team to make sure we're getting out, spreading the word that you all will be open starting Friday. So thank you so much again for being with us today. Next, you know, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Joseph St. Germain of Downs and St. Germain Research. I'm a data gal, so I love me some data. And Joseph and his team and the team over there do a terrific job for us in numerous other destinations around the state and around the country. So, Joseph, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead. I put together a very short PowerPoint, so I'm going to go ahead and share my screen if that's okay with everybody.
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
All right. So, what I'm going to do today is talk about research that we've seen around the nation, also in relation to meetings, and then some stuff that we've done personally, not personally, but the team in Florida on consumer sentiment. There's not a lot on international sentiment because the general sentiment is nope. International travel right now, there's not a lot of interest in it. Therefore, After you got a resounding no from that, there wasn't a lot more of a deep dive. So, but the one thing I want to mention as we go through this, the theme right now is safety. And we mentioned it when Carrie was talking, when Russell was talking, when other folks were talking as well, safety. And I'll kind of touch on that as we go. Let me start with meetings. From a study by North Star, you know, right now, meeting planners looking forward, they're expecting smaller local events, fewer large events, fewer festivals and trade shows. You know, and frankly, for Tallahassee, that may, at least in the short term, may end up being good news. You know, if there may be, if they take these large meetings and make them smaller and more regional, Tallahassee has the product to handle a smaller meeting, but not the massive meetings that you see in some of the Orlando's and things of that nature. So that's just something I wanted to point out. And right now, meeting planners are looking for virtual ways to either have their meetings, you know, have a virtual event platforms, or being able to see sites virtually. You know, that's how they feel right now. But I'm also starting to read sentiment, not only with meeting planners, but just meetings like these Zoom meetings may end up being more of a common thing after it goes away. So that's something that people who do have meeting space might want to consider having be able to do a virtual site visit. And then they're also looking for health and safety education. Again, safety is going to be key as we move forward. I'm going to shift to national sentiment as relates to travel. I'm going to talk about residents and consumers. Right now, people they're somewhat uncomfortable with their home state reopening, but there is some comfort in that as well. So that's why I'm somewhat doing a lot of work in that. More people aren't comfortable than they are comfortable, but there are regional differences. In the South, for example, people are more open to the economy and their cities and states reopening. And as we move forward, you know, we're going to start to see a lot of people, when they start to travel, it will be to drive markets. So if people are more likely to, I mean, that may be some good news to pick up some travel from other folks in the South. At this point, they're not necessarily ready for their cities and states to reopen. Therefore, they're not quite ready for travelers to come to their community. But at right now, they're indifferent to ads promoting their community as a place to visit. However, for the people who are against it, it's a very emotional response. So even though you have the percentages are fairly even in terms of being pro and con, the cons feel more strongly about it, and they're more likely to kind of hold it against you. So that's something to consider as we talk about consumer sentiment and when can we reopen. As we look at consumers travel on a national perspective, it looks like some of their first trips will be more likely to see friends and family as opposed to a pure leisure visit. And I frankly think that's largely due to there's safety there. You know, when you're going to your friends and family's house, that's a place you know, it's a place you love. Medical communities, like seeing our restaurants somewhat reopen, seeing Russell talk about museums, that is going to be really, really when it comes to travel, because people need to see their local community reopening before they're ready to leave. So, I mean, even little things like I read an article in Tampa how they're closing some of the downtown so the restaurants can be in the streets and more physically distant. When those people in Tampa feel more comfortable going out in Tampa, well, that also increases their likelihood of coming to places like Tallahassee. So that's something. So when you see successes on a local level of us rejoining kind of the economy, that's going to be it increases the speed of people traveling as well. And then on a national level, people aren't really ready for plane travel for the most part. So people are driving by cars, and with some of them, they're happy to drive as far as they're willing to drive, as long as they can do it in their car. And then finally, I want to shift from national to Florida. Because, you know, as we've seen in a lot of our visitor tracking reports, much of Tallahassee's visitors are coming within the state. Atlanta's another top market that's definitely drivable. But I guess I want to focus on some of the data that we've seen. And there's two interesting things in terms of top safety indicators. One is the reopening of restaurants, which I was kind of just talking about. I think as people kind of get used to the idea of traveling again, first they want to go out in their own backyard and to restaurants that they know and love and kind of see, hey, is this okay? How are things going? That's kind of the number one indicator. And I think when we start seeing the large attractions reopening, that's when people, I think, are going to feel really comfortable about the idea of travel. Because if Disney World can open, a lot of places they feel comfortable with. Their first travel after COVID-19 are going to be places they can drive to, which I mentioned, and outdoor and uncrowded destinations. Again, I think that's good news for Tallahassee as for their first trip, because while we're not a small area, there is wide open spaces where we can kind of do things, in nature trails or whatever have you. So that's probably going to be good news moving forward. We've already heard about today how Visit Tallahassee has recently redone their website, and that's the timing of that is end up, I think, going to be very good, because when we've seen people looking at their next trip, destination websites came in as the number one travel planning resource. And the reason I believe that is it's a site where you can get all the information that you need to travel, but they're also probably expecting safety and what are the rules and what's open in that area. It's always been a one-stop shop, but it looks like people are going to be funneled to that a little bit more as opposed to just Googling it. That's something for the DMOs that Carrie and her team to consider, but also all of you partners out there, it's a good time if you're not on the website to make sure that you're there. That isn't a plug from Visit Tallahassee. It's just something that we're seeing everywhere. It's going to be really important. If people are going there, you'll want your business to be seen there. And then finally, I'm getting to safety again, but the next two things are really related to safety. When people make their next trip, they want hand sanitizer. They want to be given things so they feel safe. They want to see people cleaning. And I think there's two parts to that. One is they want to see people cleaning because it's cleaner and it's safer and things of that nature. But they also want it just from a psychological perspective of feeling safe. I know this place is being clean, therefore it must be being done everywhere. I liken that to like security at Disney World. I'm not sure how much that's actually doing, but you feel safer. You feel like you're crossing the barrier. So there's going to be some psychological perspective to actually just having people seen being cleaning all the time. And when we ask them, hey, they're not quite ready to travel, but they're also not ready to give up on their summer vacation. So that's some good news there. Their people are holding out. When we ask what they want to see right now for marketing, they want to know about how you're being clean, what safety precautions are feeling. Right now that's what people need, that security of feeling safe. However, it's something that we think will shift in the upcoming weeks and months as things reopen. But right now they want to know what are you doing to make me feeling clean and safe as we move forward. So that's kind of the sentiment right now. So as we've discussed, this sentiment is a nice snapshot for right now. That's also, that may shift in the next weeks and months as we see things reopen and how it goes. If it goes well,
did we lose Joseph?
I can't hear him, no.
I can't either.
Yes, he's fine.
We must have lost him. Oh, no! I hope everything's okay. Strange. Yeah, I hope everything's all right there. If he just went away completely. I wasn't sure if it was on our end or not. So, wow, I hope he's okay. Mid-presentation. Maybe he'll come back. I will double check with him. But if we're rolling, let me see. We just have never had that happen before. I guess maybe it's internet. Why don't we shift over then to Greg for right now, and then we can come back to Joseph when he's able to, after Greg, and then he can kind of pick up from here. So, Greg, are you?
I'm here.
Uh-oh. Yeah, Joseph just said his Zoom just crashed, and he's trying to get back on if there are questions. So he may have been done. So we'll just wait till questions for the end. So then why don't we just go ahead then, Greg? Thank you so much for being with us this morning. So we'll turn it over to you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. I got to say, can you hear me okay?
Yep, I'm hearing you fine.
Great. These weekly meetings have been great. I've been trying to grasp at any new information I can get, and this is one of the few places that we've been able to get good, solid information. What I want to talk about is how I transitioned my business, because change is everything, and that's what's going on right now, and the people who are embracing changes are doing well. Let's get here to my slides. Okay. So, my business is a little different than some. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but we're an ice cream place that serves brunch, sells toys, makes hard candy, and now we seem to have been turned into, during this, a diner that makes things and delivers. At least I think. A lot of this has to do with how I perceive history. My entire business is about learning from the history of soda fountains, diners, candy making, and everything, and applying it to the modern day. And one of the interesting things about the COVID-19, if you can call it interesting, is we've had pandemics, we've had epidemics, and businesses have adopted. And I've looked at them. And I took a careful analysis of all of this back in late January, early February, when I saw things could happen here. And I came up with a business plan. I went from getting lots of local customers in the store. I got 5 to 8 carloads of tourists because of our YouTube channel a day. This all went away, and I had to adapt. And fortunately, I got to start a little earlier than some. But I knew a couple of basic things. I had some advice at the beginning of my business that I repeat almost every day. If you don't serve your customers, somebody else will. And your customers change, and if you don't change, they will leave you for someone else who does change or fits their current need. And between both of these things, I look at a problem. I also know that my most valuable asset is my employees. They are the intellectual assets of my business, and ethically, I'll keep them safe because it's the right thing to do. And I've got to say, that was number one. So I've managed to keep, I actually have more employees and more employee hours than when this began, because it was the only way to adapt to the situation. I also know that anything that spreads in a 6-foot area is a local issue, so I can actually do something about it. I know that habits change in 3 to 4 weeks, and they can change permanently. They say, do an exercise program for a month and you'll be more likely to stay on it. So our customers are in the process of changing and their habits are changing. We've got to acknowledge they're not going to go back to exactly what they did before. And history shows us that's what they did in other pandemics and epidemics. So now we're looking at marketing, and marketing is about optics. And I really like what the previous speaker was saying about that, because it's exactly how I see it. Sanitization through the history of all of this was the key marketing technique after a pandemic, and it didn't go on for a short time. It went on for 5 to 10 years. I don't know if that was out of habit. Things went slower back then, but you can see in the ads that were in print publications, people emphasizing the sanitization. I mean, it goes to the hat, the soda jerk hat, the soda jerk white shirt. In the 1918 epidemic, soda fountains were dirty places, and they were probably responsible for a lot of spread. So after that, to promote sanitation, they put countertops that could be cleaned, and they dressed their people in uniforms that people they felt would be programmed to react to. White shirts, black bow ties, and a military hat that was worn in World War I, just right then, that is not in the same color. This is all to present military accuracy, cleanliness, habits, which they'd gotten a reputation for, and to show that they were clean. It was about marketing and, of course, backing the marketing with reality. Now, I also realized something else with my research in the history of pandemics. You can only control what you can control. and you can't control customers. And this is an important thing for what I've been doing. So let's take a look at this chart here, which I'm sure you've seen online. People have shared it. There's lots of cities that have similar charts, and I don't like how they're interpreted. They say that that's where interventions were removed, November 11th, 1918. They're missing the history. That day was a special day. It's when World War II ended, and everybody poured out on the street and partied. The cities couldn't control them. Social distancing interventions weren't removed. They gave up on them. They figured when everyone was together, they absolutely lost the game. And it shows what one day can do in a situation like this and what we have to market for. And we have some responsibility here. So we're looking at how we can keep our customers safe, how we can keep our employees safe, and what I can control. I can give the customers an option to be safe. I installed the hook on my door, which was a suggestion out there on the net, so they can open with the mid of their forearm and not touch the handles. Door handles, elevator buttons, tremendous common transmission points. A simple thing from Home Depot and about 10 bucks, and I was able to adapt my front door. Some people use it. Some people ignored it. Some people actually got angry that I put it on, although the handle's still there, because somehow it was affecting their personal space of how they felt everything should go back to normal. And what I don't understand is face masks, things like this, is a sign of being polite, not a sign of trying to take things away, but a sign of giving more. I can make my employees safe, even if I can't make the customer safe if they don't want to, and that's my obligation. I can change my business to serve the new needs of my customers, since many of the old needs are not there anymore, and if I don't, I know someone else will. So what did I do? I did the controlled response. I made it transparent, just like we were told in the last one. On the top of every web page, on every website I have, there's a safety button that says very clearly what I'm doing step by step so the customers can make a choice. They want to be informed. And by doing this, I've made them comfortable with my shop. Oh, and I forgot to tell you at the beginning, over the course of the past 5 weeks, I've gotten my sales up to the numbers they were before COVID-19 by doing this. Actually, they're 8% higher than that. Mind you, my overhead is so much higher, my profits are down. But by doing this, I made the customers comfortable with shopping in my store. And I'm not opening yet. So I tried everything I wanted to do a week before I felt it was necessary to make sure I had time to practice. If we did something wrong, we wouldn't hurt anyone. We removed product that had no packaging. We trained the customers carefully, but we also put up barriers between the customers and everything else. Because I knew this was coming by reading European newspapers and Asian newspapers, it's a habit of mine, I read worldwide newspapers, I knew that a delivery service would be necessary. I couldn't afford to use Uber Eats, Bite Squad, Grubhub. They take 30%. So I developed my own system just before this and was able to kick it in on March 21st when everything started, using my own staff, keeping them employed. As I said in one meeting, you still have a job, you no longer have a job description. I did things to protect them, like putting up barriers in the store. It wasn't very hard. This is when I was letting people in the store still. We stopped that last week. This is nothing more than shower curtains and PVC pipe, but it kept a barrier between my employees and the customers, keeping my employees safe, and by extension, the customers safe for my employees. I could only imagine what would happen to my shop if one of my employees got sick, spread it to everyone else. They are the most important resource. I ended up last week closing the inside of the store for pickup. I was having trouble with people who were being belligerent and who were endangering my employees. So I set up this tent outside, had sides made, signs made, and people are accepting it wonderfully. Actually, this took the sales up another notch. Good marketing on the street. You can drive through the window on the side. You can walk up to that side, place the order. The menus are in the window. There are computer monitors in the windows allowing you to do it. Heck, even on the other side of it, I took my big picture windows and I put product, and people are now literally window shopping, feeling comfortable shopping in my store. And that, once again, I felt was critical, and the customers seemed to agree. I also changed what we sold because the market was different. Using YouTube, my candy business is doing great. I've had a long time mail order candy business done by YouTube, but to gain excitement and make my videos go more, I've been developing cough drops using traditional Victorian cough drop recipes. And they're going hand over fist out the door and online. Our ice cream sales are way down, we developed ways to deliver it. Delivery ice cream is not a thing until now, and it needed to. It's growing, and the new walk-up window is geared for both grab-and-go ice cream, and it's really helped in the past week we've had it up. I had another problem. Breakfast is not traditionally a delivery meal. People go out to eat breakfast to be with other people, and that was no longer an option. So I spread my cooks out. I didn't need as many for breakfast, so I started opening for dinner. And we now have a dinner menu, and that's catching on beautifully. So we're now delivering from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. We used to have a breakfast shift and an ice cream shift. Now everybody is doing everything. And we started doing local beer, delivering it to promote locally. We're delivering games and board games. We're delivering service items that people need. And then I started marketing. So I did direct marketing to where we deliver, 15,000 mailers so far. I didn't have a local email list, which I realized in retrospect was a big mistake. And I've been developing it successfully, and I've been doing some coupons, which have gotten amazing responses through it. I've been doing geofenced ads online and geofenced re-advertising. I put some money into radio ads, and the customers are coming because they now know I deliver. I had to re-educate them to what I did. I'm also doing things to make them happy. I'm in the service industry. Happy is important. We're doing a yo-yo promotion. We're giving out free yo-yos now. Truthfully, I had about 3,000 of these in a warehouse I couldn't sell, so I'm making lemonade out of lemons. I produced some stickers to make people laugh that I stuck in the bags. And that's what it was that. I made a business that made people happy. And then I looked at history. You know, the 1918 flu epidemic led to the development of disposables. Dixie cups became a product because of that. Soda fountains got these hats. Stainless steel started going into places. In the polio epidemic of the 1950s, it created stainless steel diners to market sanitization. And it also made the burgeoning field of drive-in movie theaters a thing because it allowed social distancing and still enjoying a movie because towns around the country had to close their theaters for years at a time. So the movie theaters adapted. Are there opportunities? Of course there are. Anyone making hand sanitizer that now knows this. But I suspect there are few businesses that can make this work without some form of transformation. And the one thing they have in common is they marketed historically sanitization, the pandemic of 1897, the pandemic of 1918, and the polio epidemic of the 50s. So right now we're making the customers comfortable, and we're not opening the store because it's not ready, because I can't keep my employees safe because the customers aren't cooperating yet. And I think they will. Sometimes at the restaurant, I sort of feel like I'm that penguin on the iceberg that's being pushed off, or somebody's trying to push me off to see if there's a walrus in the water. I don't want to be that penguin. And since I can't control the customers, I have to make do with what I can control. Our reality is the market has shifted. There may be less space for a while. I can't see the future, but in past epidemics, those who did adapt did well and did very well. And, you know, we're going to do well. And this is part of the decision-making that's critical. We're already seeing bad press for some places that have opened up and have not been able to keep the customers apart, if you've been reading Twitter here locally. And I don't want to be the business, and I don't think any of us want to be the business that can't control this. Because if somebody just thinks you got the disease from visiting a business, we're all going to be hurt. So we have to be careful. And since I seem to be unable to control it, and I know other people are better than me at this, I've decided not to open the inside of my store yet. And I can't wait till we do. But in the meantime, I've adapted, and the customers have stayed.
Right. That's a great story. I mean, what you're doing, your adaptive model is very successful and very creative, very innovative. And I love your employees, they love jobs, they don't have a job description. I thought that was great how you've adapted and just in so many different ways. And that's why we wanted you to come speak today. So, Greg, if you can.
Sorry, I took so long. I had a timer and I ignored it. I apologize.
No, it's all good stuff. So, again, Greg, thank you so much for sharing with us today. Very much appreciated. There's a lot of good insight there. And, frankly, from all of our presenters, Russell talking about what he's doing at the museum, Joseph sharing the data. Joseph, welcome back. let me open it up. Does anyone have any questions for Russell or Joseph or Greg? Again, a lot of great information was shared from our our guest speakers this morning. So does anyone have any questions for Russell or Joseph or Gregory?
I have one for Russell.
Okay.
I see the country opening up in a patchwork method. Is patchworking going to affect things negatively, positively, or not at all? It's hard for me to tell. We're right against the state border, so we're definitely affected by Georgia.
Good question, Greg. You're right. I mean, it is very patchwork. Part of that is given the political environment we work in. I think Joseph hit it on the nose that we're kind of equally split between people that are pro and con, but the cons are much more emotionally and vocal about it. I think the best we can do, as you said, is demonstrate that we're doing the best we can to make sure that we're providing a safe environment. Try to build that confidence, because if you, I, or any other attraction tries to do that and does it well, it's going to build more confidence for the public to get out to the restaurants and other attractions and open up travel more. But, you know, we've got to keep our eye on the science and what's happening with the cases and be prepared, if we have to pull back. I don't know if that answered your question, but
it's close enough.
Yes, that's exactly right. Joseph, is there anything you want to share again? Really appreciate the great insight that you shared with us today.
Not a lot to add, because it sounds like I was close to the end anyway, so you saw the last slide, and hearing Greg and Russell just talk, it sounds like it was most of it. I mean, I do know, you know, if anyone's coming to the TDCE meeting tomorrow, we have a quarterly report on Tallahassee specifically, but that hasn't been presented to everyone yet, so that'll be there tomorrow. But overall, it's kind of, I mean, the safety, it sounds like from listening to Gregory, it's something that's seeing now, and we may see it for a while, but it's just something to consider.
As in, I thought it was very insightful, both Russell and Greg talked so much about the cleaning and the safety and making sure signage communicated it and making sure that was all there. And Joseph, and your data absolutely said that we're on the right path by doing that. And we've certainly seen from, you know, Greg, if he's adapted his model, customers are responding to that. So again, great call this morning with you all being on there. Is there any other questions for Russ or Joseph or Greg? Anyone?
Gary, it's Stan Parisi. Can we get a copy of Joseph's slides?
Yes, we'll get that, and then we'll post it on the Visit Tallahassee website. So we'll have it be on the industry page. So the COVID-19 industry page. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for joining us this morning, too. Okay, anyone else have any other questions? Ben, gentlemen, thank you so much for sharing your time and your talent and your insights with us today. It is very much appreciated. Again, this is a great call. And we'll do this again next week. But as we kind of wrap up here, let me ask, are there any other comments, questions in general from, I know we've got a number of folks that are in the meeting, so I want to open it up for them for any comments or questions for us, or just to share insights as an industry. Okay, hearing none, I will point out that in the chat session too, there is the link to the video that we referenced earlier in the call, so definitely encourage you to check that out. Again, to share that, that's also on our National Travel and Tourism Week and industry page. Again, as we kind of wrap up, thank you all so much for being with us this morning again this week. We are all in together. It was so wonderful to see everybody's faces. So, you know, we can be together. We do these calls every week, and we will get through this together. So continue to share your updates with us. Again, and we will continue to share them with, you know, potential visitors and again, residents And with this weekend too, is Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, the wonderful moms. So again, thank you, moms, for all that you do, your love and your tireless efforts, sacrifices for your family. So again, Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Let's continue to be safe, continue to support our local businesses, continue to focus all of our efforts as an industry on the future, looking ahead to our respective businesses, to coming back. The future will indeed be brighter. So again, I want to thank you for that. And thank you again for being with us this morning. Be safe, be smart, and be kind. And we'll talk to you next week. So thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
Thank you.